See, I'm looking at After Light, Catherine Hunter's new novel. It's a biggie from Signature. Catherine Hunter works here, of course, University of Winnipeg, head of the Sociology and English Department, acting chair. Looking at the novel and its subject matter. Well, forced out of seclusion by the sudden death of her sister in New York, Vaughn Garrison leaves her quiet home on the prairie, Winnipeg indeed, St. Boniface, to make the final arrangements. But it turns out that her sister Roisin has left behind an unfinished art project for an exhibition that's due to open very soon, as well as an estranged son who wants to know more about the family than Vaughn wants to tell. In Vaughn's opinion, it's best to leave the past alone. Well, is it? We invited Catherine Hunter in for a chat. Well, welcome and congratulations on Afterlight.
Thank you, Ron.
An accomplishment. And it held me and I went right through it, which we don't always do. So, now there are three sections in Afterlight to this family saga. It's a roller coaster read, so I needed help. So I found myself going, Vaughn, the guiding hand at the greenhouse, her sister, the rebellious Roisin, the fractured father, Frank, and the devious Deirdre. I know that's simple-minded, but I needed it. But then once I got going, they came to life and they fleshed out. Now, Deirdre, of course, the starting point, and you cover great distance and time there as well. So the impossible question for you then, which of your created children did you love the most?
Oh, that's, you know, that's like asking me which of my children I love
the
most.
That's right. Mom always liked you best, sort of thing. Come
right.
on, yes.
Yeah, that's very hard to, very, very hard to say. I think Roisin is a bit of a favorite of mine, but also her father, Frank, who seems to me kind of the most powerful person, has the most determination and the most strength in a way.
Well, I'm with you. I was drawn to Frank. Now, maybe that's because he's the guy. But when I looked at how he grew, the power of the line had a bit of shading as he tried to look a little deeper beyond the just survival. The battles with his mother, who closed the door on him on certain things that seemed so important to him. I talked about him as a fractured Frank. But finally, the war years.
Yes.
And this doesn't happen very well. My dad was overseas with the Princess Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry, 39 to 45, and he used to have nightmares.
Yes.
And I think as I read your book, I was suddenly ashamed. I'd never expected that, and the reason for that is, when I was a teenager, we kind of dismissed my dad's war stories and the like, and he only told us part of it until we got a little bit older. So the power that you had there was to bring it to life in a way that I'd never expected. And I've met Hong Kong vets, and I've chatted to guys who are in Korea as well. So how did you get to the heart of that character, Frank?
That character, Frank, is based on my father. So that is really how I got to the heart of that. My father was also in the Second World War from 1939, maybe 1940, to 1944. And when he was wounded so badly and totally blinded that he couldn't, he was just in the hospital.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So, you know, my father did talk a little bit about the war. And as you, just like your dad, you know, when you're younger, your father wants to protect you. He's not going to tell you a bunch of gory stories and give you nightmares and all of that. But as I got older and as he got older, he did tell me some stories, and so some of the scenes in there are based on stories that my dad told me.
Well, it's one thing to tell a story, but you have the emotional content with it there, that the you are there feeling. It was very strong, very powerful.
Well, when I was writing it, I felt like I was there sometimes. You know, I could sort of see it and hear the noise and...
Right.
Part of it, I went to the, my dad was with the Black Watch. He had joined the army up in Montreal. And I went and looked at the war unit diaries in Archives Canada, Library and Archives Canada, and did read some accounts of Dieppe, for example, which were just amazing. They interviewed about, I think, 17 soldiers approximately, and what happened in Dieppe very, very shortly after the day that it happened. And then they attached those typewritten interviews to the war unit diary for August 1942. So they're right there. So in those guys' words, yeah.
Well, each of your characters in Afterlight finds there is a very high and continuing cost to loving anybody.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I'm not sure why it's so difficult for these characters to love. And it seems as though any time two characters are attracted to each other, start to fall in love, you start to get hopeful, something goes a little bit awry, or a lot awry. So,
well, there's a lot of rye involved as well. And I suddenly thought of Thomas Hardy there. A misunderstanding, a missed appointment, and then all of a sudden everything blows up in your face. We've all had that happen, but it's extreme here.
Well, yeah, and I think there's a certain kind of pride that these particular characters have. They don't want to get hurt. And so they kind of pull back and maybe don't say the things that they should say or don't do the things that they should do because they've got a lot of pride, I think.
Well, you should have a lot of pride in Afterlight. It's a very impressive result there. And so what are you reading these days?
What am I reading these days? Well, I'm
rereading. Work-related?
Yeah, it's mostly work-related.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
So I'm reading, but luckily for me, my work is literature. So lately I've been reading with my students Stephen King's book On Writing, which I read some years ago, and I'm rereading with my students, and I think they're enjoying it. We're enjoying it. Tips on how to write, etc. And I did just read a really great book by Stella Harvey called The Brink of Freedom, which is about Stella Harvey is of Greek descent. Well, she lives in Canada. But she went to Greece and she asked the Greek embassy for access to a lot of the refugee camps that are there because, as we all know, there's this tide of refugees showing up in Italy and Greece, and especially in Greece. So she did a lot of research there, interviewing the refugees and the people who are working with them. And then she wrote a novel in which, you know, there's a couple of families in the novel who are refugees in Greece, and just about their experiences. And there's a little boy at the sort of heart of the story that kind of gets passed around from one person to another. And I'm not finished it yet. I'm really hoping that he's going to find his way home.
Is that Stella Harvey?
Stella Harvey, yeah.
Okay. So finally, what you just said about working with your students in Stephen King, we always ask our successful writers, that's you, for a tip, something that would save blood, sweat, tears to some poor soul as they're bending over their computer screen as we speak.
Well, I guess I'm going to stick with the old chestnut. Read. Read, read, read. And, read good literature and then pay attention to how the sentences are constructed. When you come across a character that really moves you, reread that part and figure out why. How did the writer do that?
Right. I like it. Well, congratulations on Afterlight, and will you autograph our copy and we'll give it away?
Okay, that's great. I hope somebody enjoys it out there.
Catherine Hunter in conversation. Catherine Hunter from the University of Winnipeg, of course, author of Afterlight, new oversized paperbacks in the stores now. We have one autographed copy to give away. First person who calls us, then at area code 204-774-6877, area code 204-774-6877.